Good morning. I invite you this morning to begin our chapel with the praying together of the words of our Monday morning prayer. You'll find it on page 168 in the front part of the hymnary. A prayer for Monday morning. Let us pray. At the beginning of the week, I cry to you, O Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would fill my heart and mind with your Holy Spirit, that I may think, speak, and do only that which pleases you. Unite my thoughts and desires with yourself in the love of Jesus Christ. Cleanse my conscience with his blood, that I may grow in you this entire week, yes, all the days of my life. Strengthen me with your might. Make me sincere in my love to you and willing to serve you and my neighbor. Teach me to resist the temptation of my own corrupt heart and the enticements of evil men. Make the vanity of this world bitter to me, that you may become the more sweet. Teach me also to bear the burden of this week. Lead me as a loving father, and help me to follow you as your child and obey you. Bless all my labor and guide me with your wisdom, that I may be cheerful and confident and also faithful in all my work. Be the beginning and the end of all my labor, to your glory and my salvation. Amen. Reading for this morning's homily is taken from the revelation given to St. John, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Quite often, new technologies are developed, and new inventions are made during times of war. And those technologies then ultimately make it back into commercial use. We see that with infrared and night vision capabilities. That was actually developed prior to World War II. In 1935, Adolf Hitler had his engineers develop what became known as NOD, night optical devices, that were to be used and mounted on tanks. 50 of his Panzer tanks had these special devices mounted on them, allowing the soldiers inside to see potential enemies even in the darkness of night. Today, many of our soldiers in the United States Army have night vision goggles by which they have the same capacity to be able to see in the night. It gives a soldier tremendous advantage to be able to tell and detect where his enemy is, when maybe typical vision would not give you that. This week, the third week in the season of Lent, is a time when we often think of the great struggle and warfare and battle that goes on between Satan and the kingdom of Christ. A week of spiritual warfare, and you will see that reflected in many of our readings and hymns for this week. One of the great consequences of the fall into sin on humanity is that there has been kind of a pall of darkness, a shrouding of darkness spiritually on us that does not permit us to really see and understand naturally by ourselves the depth of Satan's animosity against us. And it's easy to think of it as a darkness that we can walk around in which the world of unbelief walks around in this darkness all of the time. And that's one of the sad consequences of the fall into sin, is to not really see and be able to understand and recognize the danger of the enemy that lurks around us. And in the vision given to St. John, given to us in Holy Scripture by the work of the Holy Spirit, by divine revelation, God has now come and given us, if you will, the ability to penetrate the darkness of this unbelief and to be able to see the reality of the enemy that we have and to understand the consequences of falling into his grasp, to understand not only his presence in the world, but also the nature of his very work against us. The Holy Spirit does not want you and me to go through life living under the deception of the darkness that the devil is not really out there and that he really poses no great threat to us. Listen to the words again. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. Woe. That's a word that God rarely uses speaking directly to his church. It's a Greek word. It's the actual sound of it is hoi. And it's a word that maybe you use kind of a similar thing. If you're going to try to warn something about something really serious, you might say, oh, man. And it's a word that's hard to put into translation. Whoa. It's a way of underlying what is about to be said. God wants to make sure that we understand intensely just how serious this spiritual warfare is and the devil that we face. God means business for us. This is a serious situation. It's not something we should just kind of take casually and lightly, because the consequences for us have to do with where we will spend our eternity. Sometimes in warfare, an enemy soldier might get injured or something might happen to him that causes him to become more agitated toward those he's fighting against. And it might even cause him then to become more dangerous. That's really kind of the setting that the Holy Spirit speaks to us about when it comes to the work of Satan. His animosity toward us has now been stirred up and agitated even more because he has been booted out of heaven. He is no longer allowed to be in heaven. But he has been permitted to come down to the earth, and he is now desperate against the kingdom of God, and he will use any tactic that he can to cause us to come with him. When a sniper shoots a victim with a bullet, the intent of that bullet is not just to injure the skin and not just to cause the pain of its entry wound, but the purpose of it is to ultimately go deeper inside and cause death. And that's what it is with us, with the temptation to sin. A lot of times we can think that the sin that we're tempted with is like, well, it's no big deal. It just kind of is a passing wound to me. But the purpose of the devil's causing us to sin and tempting us to sin is not just to hurt us against Christ and cause you to do something wrong against Christ. Yes, that's horrible. But the real intent of it is the bullet that goes deeper inside to the heart and the soul, to the conscience, trying to get us to forget about Christ and to love the sin and to lose our love for Christ and the things of his kingdom, to possess us, to drag us off dead into his hell. So the Holy Spirit wants us to recognize the real intent that the devil has against us in this spiritual warfare. When soldiers are wearing their night vision goggles, they not only can see the enemy well, but they can also look around themselves and see the fellow soldiers that are with them that normally in darkness they might not have been able to see. They're able to see the host that is with them in this great battle and fight. And so it is for us as well. Through divine revelation, God has given us the ability, and through faith in his word, to recognize that we're not alone in this fight. There is a host of holy angels, heavenly angels, that fight along with us. We just sang, "I walk with angels all the way." Faith permits us to see that, to recognize their presence, even though they are invisible to our eyes. And they rejoice with us every time that one of us repents of our sin and just comes before God seeking his grace in Christ once again. But with the eyes of faith, we're also able to see one great champion that stands with us. He's described here as the Archangel Michael, the great defender of the faith. And many believe this to be an angelic personification of the Son of God himself, the great Lord Jesus Christ, who has gone up against the devil on our behalf. And the Holy Spirit is revealing to us in these words that we don't need to be afraid in this battle because the war has already been won for us by this great champion. And how was he overcome? How was the devil defeated? We're told about those who believe in Christ. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Great little words. The blood of the Lamb makes us think about the Passover night when the Israelites took that little lamb and sacrificed it and drained the blood into a little basin and then painted it on their doorposts, and by that defeated the entire nation of Egypt and were able to get away in the great Exodus back to the promised land. That tiny little bowl of blood was all it took. How simple this little thing is. In some ways, the blood of Christ, one human being who sheds his blood, the great Lamb of God on the cross. And yet by that blood, the entire kingdom of the devil has been defeated. And by the testimony of the word of those who preach and proclaim the blood of Christ, even here in our midst on this campus and throughout the world, that blood testimony that is given by the church is the very powerful thing that defeats the devil. Seemingly insignificant to the world, and yet of the greatest triumph in this battle. The Holy Spirit wants to make sure that everybody in this sanctuary gets to someday join in the great victory celebration. Listen to those words of that great hymn and cry, the battle cry that will be sung in the gates of heaven. Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. The victory is ours. The kingdom ours remaineth. Amen. Please rise for our hymn.